Hello and welcome to the Mix Era Rap Podcast. I'm your host, DJ B Wise. This is a podcast where we talk about hip hop from boom bap to trap. We're a group of hip hop enthusiasts from multiple eras trying to bridge the gap in hip hop. My co-hosts are Kev and JB, the JJB. We're back in it again this evening, party people. Let me check in with my fellas and then I'll shoot you guys our social media. Kev, how we doing tonight?
Doing great. Excited for another time, you know, just to talk, discuss, and have great dialogue.
That's what's up, Kev. Appreciate that. JB, how you feeling tonight?
Man, I'm doing great. It was a great week for music. A lot went on, a lot occurred, man. I look forward to talking about it further.
That's what's up. All right, so you can check us out on social media at Instagram at Mix Era Rap Pod. Again, that's Mix Era Rap, P-O-D. You can check us out on Twitter, and that's X at Mix Era Rap. And you can check us out on TikTok at Mix Era Rap. All right, so check us out on those platforms. We may be coming to you from the old school social media platform, Facebook, in a short period of time. It is what it is. Let's get into it, what we're talking about tonight, people. So for tonight, we're going to jump into it with the heavy discussion on the beef between Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj. And in the next segment, we're going to do Stream or No Stream with our boy Benny the Butcher and his new album, Everybody Can Go. And then we got a new segment for you coming at you called Check It Out. So I'm going to kick it off to my boy JB, and he's going to take over this discussion on Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj.
So just to give the background here, Meg Thee Stallion recently released a diss track. I believe it was entitled His or Hiss. She's, you know, going along with this whole snake sort of theme. I guess she's pushing with her album like she did with the recent single, where she's addressing Nicki Minaj and various things related to, you know, what might be considered a knock or diss on her, as well as a diss on Cardi, her ex-boyfriend, who also released a diss track on her as well. Just, I guess, spilling the tea on the truth, you know, or who she really is in a way, I guess. But there's been a lot of discord within the community of music about the, you know, what Meg was mentioning and talking about, and, you know, people picking sides, obviously. You know, the question and discussion here is obviously is female rap beef, right? We don't think that it'll be taken to the extent of what male rap beef has been taken in the past, meaning outside of the context of music. And we haven't, from what I understand, had a rap beef in quite some time that's been kept on wax. You know, immediately upon the release of the track, Nicki is already preparing her response, right, which she's gotten some criticism for as well. So I guess the real conversation here is Meg out of her league? You know, how do you guys see this thing unfolding, you know, between the two, and what's your perspective on it? I'll give it to you, Kev.
I'm a big wrestling fan, okay? And some years ago, there was a wrestling promoter that wrote a book titled Controversy Creates Cash. So every time there's something controversial that comes up, it always seems to a lot of times it works in the favor of the person who started the controversy. I'm kind of on both sides on this, because part of me feels like, you know, what is Meg doing? Like the first, like you said, the first single was Cobra. It could have been considered a diss track, but it created controversy. Now you got this one, Hiss, still in that snake line, but it's, you know, it's still throwing shots just like the first single. And it's like, is there a story? Is this all pieced together for this new album? Is she trying to generate attention? But at the same time, it's like, how long is she going to be able to sustain all this? I don't know if, you know, if she drops single 3 and we still have no album update, how are people going to be receptive to it? Because I'm like, I can't really, I don't know how I would take another controversial track from her based on this album that's coming up. Like, I honestly feel like if she doesn't have like a new pop or radio hit, which then I'm like, you giving us another diss track? Like, what's really going on? Like, you had your time to talk in these interviews, which you didn't do, or you know, you could have went on a Instagram or TikTok or whatever, one of those lives, and said all, you know, spilled your guts out, and then maybe throw it in the album or something. But it's like, you know, normally Megan stays away from all this. You know what I mean? She might drop some subliminals in a record and you can kind of read between the lines and guess here and there. But I mean, like, clear, the last, you know, her two current songs are clearly, she don't name names, but you know who she's talking about.
Right.
And I don't know if that's, I mean, you could say that's effective for album rollout. I mean, J. Cole does it every time he wants to come out with an album. He dropped 2-3 songs full of subliminals and none of those songs end up on the album, but it helps him. But I don't know how the public is really going to accept Megan doing it. I mean, now her target is Nicki Minaj, I don't want to say an easy target, but Nicki is an easy target to go after in today's rap, because Nicki hasn't had a lot of real competition. And I think that when she rose to stardom, I don't want to say easier, but she went to levels that a lot of artists in other genres haven't even seen before. So it's, you know, it's like she's at the end of her career while Megan is in the middle. And it's kind of like, Nicki, every time you react to these people, you don't look the best. So right. It's like, you know, tread lightly if you want to respond. But if I was Nicki, I wouldn't respond at all, because I mean, you know, your husband and your brother are sex offenders,
which was addressed on the track.
You can't say nothing. You lost. Like, as soon as she said those two things, Nicki should have just shut up.
But to that respect, obviously everybody has their dirt, right? Because Nicki comes back with this big foot, or get up on your good foot, not your bad foot, all this other stuff. They both got jabs, you know what I'm saying? But looking at it,
it's a jab and a haymaker, it's two different things, man.
I get the perspective on Nicki being an easy target, you know what I'm saying? But Nicki's a spitter, bro. And you could talk about your Cardis, you could talk about your Lottos, you could talk about all these other females in rap, but Nicki got bars. And we know what she could do when she really, really, really takes it there, in my opinion. She comes from a different echelon than a lot of these current rappers rapping about my poo-tang and my booty and all this other stuff. She comes from an era where that wasn't the only thing to talk about to get your esteem.
But I mean, she did hype up, she's gonna release a song this week as her official response. But she shouldn't have said nothing until then, because so far she looks like the loser right now.
But I agree with you saying, like, I mean, Nicki don't really gotta respond, but I mean, like she posted, Pink Friday 2 already platinum. You know what I'm saying? Pink Friday 2 just dropped last year. It's already platinum. So it's like, from a numbers perspective and who Nicki is in the game, it's like, Meg, you're not even in the same ballpark as Nicki Minaj. You know what I mean? Like,
And I mean, level of success. You're totally right.
Yeah.
Just like I was saying, like Nicki has reached levels that a lot of artists in other genres of music haven't even seen. Like Nicki opened up for Britney Spears, and Britney Spears doesn't even need an opening act.
Yeah.
She opened up for Beyonce. Beyonce doesn't need an opening act. I mean, Nicki went around the world with pop stars who don't need opening acts, but Nicki was on the card with like legendary artists. And you know how many people can actually say they can do a concert without an opening act? It's not a lot of artists, but her talent is so immense that these artists who don't need opening acts asks her to open up for them, which says a lot to who she is. Now, could Meg hit that plateau? Maybe. But at the same time, I don't think that, you know, could Meg go on tour with Beyonce? I don't know.
Yeah. What about you, Josh? What is your perspective on this whole debacle, ordeal, occasion?
So as far as I'm concerned, it starts in a space where privilege brings on a level of arrogance. And I know this is an unpopular opinion, but Nicki Minaj's contract with Young Money put her in a space where she was able to receive way more attention than maybe deserved during the time when she came out. I'm not saying she's not a talented artist. I'm not saying that she hasn't put out music that people have liked. But what I'm saying is, being that she came along during a time where it was one female artist, then another female artist, then another female artist, the level of competition was not there. When you speak of Megan, you speak of Cardi B, Lotto, Tierra Whack, Asian Doll, Cash Doll, and the list goes on of artists, Scarlett, of artists who can pull some level of attention in this space that we're in now. And I think that the way I look at it is, I look at Nicki as a bully, and that she's always had beef with somebody at all times. And I'm like, when did being the top dog not make you feel good about yourself? Why is it that you have to present this negativity to every artist outside of whoever you think is worthwhile? Like everybody you got a beef with who you think is getting some level of attention that, you know, is deserved or not deserved. So I don't get her. I think it's bullying. And I think the diss track that I heard was reasonable, you know, and I understand that, you know, Nicki's going to put out something and it's probably going to be heard wildly all over the world. But again, you got to remember who she signed to. I think that now that Megan signed to Warner Brothers, she's going to have enough payola behind her that she's going to be able to climb up the ladder and get the same amount of streams that Nicki gets, the same amount of streams that, you know, maybe not the same amount of streams as Drake, but close to it. Warner Brothers is powerful. Universal is powerful. So being associated with those record labels can get you a certain level of you know, visuals. Again, it's just tough, man. It's tough for me to think that either of these situations, you know, I think that Megan might be doing this based on her trying to get some level of clout. But overall, I'm just like, you know, Nicki's been known to bully people she thinks is up and coming. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so I never really understood the dynamic between Nicki and the, you know, the juxtaposition of another artist that people want to highly tote in some nature of a beef between them. I know she's recently got on pretty well with Ice Spice, as many others have, just due to the recognition that she's been able to grasp. You know, and then the whole Cardi thing that they have going on. And I do believe that some of this Megan stuff is based on that, you know, her picking that side with Cardi. And again, a part of that to me is just the nature of the competition of music in and of itself. And so that takes me to the question of, I mean, how did you feel about the Megan diss? Like, was it like when we're talking about diss tracks here, right? We've seen the Kendricks, the Coles to some degree, because I think Cole is a light skinned sneak disser. But we've seen a lot of artists, you know, drop beef tracks. And so my or diss tracks. And my question is where does this one rank for you? Right. Is it subpar, average, above par? Like, I, you know, and listening to it and subject matter and what have you, like, where do you rank this one or how do you feel about the track in general? I'll start with you, Kev.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I never really thought, I haven't even thought about it. And I granted, it's been a couple days. I don't know. I think because, you know, I saw this this post, and it was it's going around, it's a discussion, and like you just said, it's a topic that made us want to talk about it. So, but it talked about who she was actually addressing in the song. It was like Drake, Nicki, her ex-boyfriend, Tory Lanez, and it was like two other people. And I'm like, damn, she said all this about all these people in this song. I'm like, I'm not sure what I missed. So I had to go back and really listen to it. And I'm like, outside of, you know, her ex or Nicki, I didn't really see all those other people in the song. So it's kind of like, for me, I mean, basing it off of that post and listening to the song, I couldn't put it in the top 10 because for me, I feel like if it's a diss track, it's clearly dissing, you know, this particular personal individuals. And it's like, it's clear. It's like, no, you know, it's like, okay, they're not saying their name, but the way they put these words together and everything, it's like, I know who they're talking about. I don't get that with this one. Outside of, you know, maybe two people, if it was only about two people, then I could be like, you know, it's a good song. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad song, but in the diss track category, I don't know if it's top 10 because I just don't know who.
Yeah, and it's like it's as if the subtext is doing more than the actual musical effort. Like it's right. Like I appreciate I don't know if Meg has always rapped with this particular punch in, punch out, ad lib style cadence
that she did. Rewise saying no, she did.
The way she's doing it now is more. I know that she's had a bit of character to it and what have you. But I think that what she's been able to do on this, as well as the most recent track, is more refined and it's more listenable to me. But you know, and I'm just giving her nod to say that, okay, she's really improving on her craft and rap prowess. But at the same time, in terms of this track, I don't think it was a body bag by any means. Like this was just, I'm knocking at your door, but it's like, if you gonna come at the queen, you know what I'm saying? What Nicki say, then watch the queen conquer, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying like, I don't think it was enough for you to really, like you supposed to be Meg.
Did she really say anything bad about Nicki?
See that?
Like, what did she say that was bad about Nicki though?
It was very much subliminal. Like you had to hear it, parse it out, get the background information. Like the worst part about it all that she mentioned was, she had some bars. Like she had the Megan's Law bar and. But the most dissy thing to it was she talked about surgery scars and your baby father being a predator. You know what I'm saying? So, or I think it's your brother or your baby brother, whatever, or your baby, you know what I mean? Or your, you know what I'm saying? Being a child predator. So that's my whole thing about it. And even B Wise, you mentioned it earlier, right? Like when you talked about Nicki coming out and having that Young Money, Lil Wayne stamp, we were more inclined to listen to her because of that. But at the same time, Nicki is on songs with Rick Ross, Kanye West, etc., and you got the best verse on the song. I've never gotten that from Meg on Wax, where I'm listening to you and I'm like, okay, you just might be not the best female rapper, but the best rapper in the game. Like, Nicki has been at that point. Meg has not as of yet. And I feel like this is your opportunity to be heard by the entirety of the rap community, even in dissing Nicki with this song, but you not maximizing that potential. It's like, you gonna drop this song, it's not gonna be on the album, and we gonna forget about it as soon as your album drop and we realize whether or not it's good or bad or worth listening to.
But I think it's so much focus on what everyone has said in this behind the scenes. You know, you haven't, you know, the entertainment blogs or whatever, they talk about Nicki's husband, right? But you haven't really heard any artists come out and say anything about Nicki's husband. And
no, we have.
Who?
We have. You know, when he was threatening, who was he threatening?
Offset.
Yeah, he was threatening Offset.
Offset
hit back. You know, I think you know, I think he's a clown, to be honest. You know,
which is true, but you know, JB makes an excellent point. You know, if you're gonna come at Nicki's throne, you gotta come at Nicki's throne, and you're right. Like, with Cardi, like me personally, I think Cardi had the best verse on that Migos Culture 3. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
But a lot of songs that Cardi gets on and she's featured on, she has the best verse. It's a song on the radio now that her verse is at the end, and the DJ was playing the song the other day. He skipped straight to Cardi's verse.
Yeah.
He didn't even play, and it's not even Cardi's song. The DJ just played Cardi's verse. He played that verse like 3 times in a row, and then he skipped another song.
And we ain't had that from Megan in a while. And I'm just saying, like,
but that's a good. I never thought of that though. Never thought of that point that we can. There has never been said that Megan had the best verse on a feature, or Megan, or even Megan held her own.
Yeah, like it shook the room. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that honestly, that's more attributed to the fact that a lot of female rappers today, they're not in the competition of rapping. They're in the competition of just being better than the next female.
Exactly.
I'll say this. Megan's last album was good to me. I think it was her best album. It was very personal. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of dark. It was dark for her, right?
Yep.
But you know, with these two songs, Cobra and Hiss, they're very aggressive. And she's flowing. Oh man, I like this Megan. I like this Megan, but at the same time, I don't know if we can get an album. If we got an album full of this Megan, would it sound good? I doubt it.
I would say, listen, man, give us this. Just by the fact that she's doing this, we probably not going to get this album till June because she's planning on Hot Girl Summer or whatever. Just because it's like by now you should have a single in rotation. And I guess that you're just going to build off of all of this clout from this back and forth between you and Nicki. Unless, of course, Nicki say, nah, let me body bag you. And let me slow down your press run. But I do think a little bit of what's behind all this is a bit fabricated. That's just my theory. But to each his own. But what about you, Be Wise?
You know, fellas, again, as far as the diss is concerned, Megan can do better. But I don't think she's a rapper with reins on her like a horse. I think her record company only allows her to get out of the gate so much. She has to maintain a certain level of what they need her to do in order to make the money that they're trying to make off of her. Because again, they're pulling her out of a tough situation where she wasn't making enough money for herself. But when she left that contract, she also left owing. and that record company that she's gone to now, they've had to pay that money. So they trying to keep it safe so that she can get this money for them. And then maybe she'll take an opportunity to be all she can be. I doubt it, just because artists now are just trying to get a bag. But I'm in hopes. We've seen her. We know if you followed her career from when she was in college and you've seen her in cyphers, if you've heard her earlier music, her mixtape stuff, you know she has the ability. The issue is she willing to go back there? I don't think she is. I don't think she needs to. I think this is a nice little clout chase that she's doing now. It'll increase her streams by, you know, 15, 20%. That may be enough to get her to where she wants to be.
Well, let me ask this. I mean, I this is my last question on this, though.
Yeah.
What you guys been saying, if Megan kind of shied away from the booty shaking stuff a little bit and you know, rap with, I don't want to say substance, but rap more non-booty shaking or twerk songs or more hot girl, you know, she did a little less hot girl summer songs. Mm-hmm. Do you think her fan base, or just even rap fans as a whole, do you think they would be receptive to it?
Very much so.
I think it's twofold. I say yes and no, because Meg is one of those artists, and what makes her capital to a record label is that you're able to attract an audience of female music listeners in ways that a male artist can't. And I think that's her cash cow. I think that if she got away from the booty shaking music or the ratchet music, it would cause more real rap enthusiasts to appreciate her. And I think in the long run, you know, in terms of where she stands in music, that would mean more for her. I think that she could do both because Nicki did both. You know what I'm saying? And I think Nicki had that opportunity because, you know, at the time you were getting on, like I said, yes, the blueprint was Lil' Kim, but the blueprint being Lil' Kim was that, yeah, I look good. I'm rapping from a provocative perspective, but I can rap my ass off. Nowadays is I look good. I appeal to this market of women and I'm talking about the things that keep them in the club or what have you, but you don't necessarily have to rap your ass off. You know what I'm saying? You can just appear to. Like, I think a lot of these artists have flow, but they don't have no lyrics. They're not really saying anything. And I think that the art of rapping is sort of lost in the way that we've commodified the music in that regard. So, you know, like I said, I think that I think that she should go that direction because it would shut all the nonsense up. But at the same time, you still want to maintain that audience of listeners that's going to keep you in the Cardi B conversation. Because even when we look at Nicki's recent album, I don't think Nicki is giving us the ratchet BS music on Pink Friday too. I think some of it is there to some degree, like it's some TikTok worthy stuff on there, but she's really rapping on that album. She's really giving you Nicki on that album. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like Meg, again, it's too hard to tell with these two singles she's recently put out, but it just tells me that now you're doing what the label wants you to do. And it's not necessarily about the culture of rap that you were brought up in. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, fellas, thank you guys for that so much. It was an interesting conversation. I hope that we were able to come to some agreement on where we think things are going. Let us now move on to our next segment, and that is our stream or no stream. And we're going to let Kev take care of this. And our stream or no stream is our boy, Benny the Butcher, and his new project, Everybody Can't Go. Take it away, Kev.
So, Benny the Butcher, if for those that don't know, is signed to Def Jam. I want to say he was Snoop's first signing since Snoop took over president of Def Jam. So the album's out now, finally. We had, what, two or three singles beforehand. He said it was going to be a little different, and it was a little different, but you know, overall, is here. I'll let the fellas go first before I really speak on it, since I'm the Benny enthusiast here. Be wise. Thoughts and feelings, stream, no stream, what's going on?
So I will start with just my opinion, and you can hit come back to me with the stream or no stream. I'm just going to say, from all the interviews and all the music he's made in the past, where he said he wasn't going to change, there was no need for him to do anything different, I think he did. I had a feeling that his affiliation with Def Jam would give him the levity to be who he should be. And what I would tell you is that from this album, he's grown. Has he grown as much as I want him to grow? I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to tell you, there were some highlights on the album that I really, really wanted to get into and see where you guys' head was with it. Me, that is a person that is not a huge fan of Lil Wayne, the Big Dog track was really good. I thought that Benny killed it.
It don't get old. Them bars just don't get old on that track.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that one. I'm not gonna say he bodied Lil Wayne. I think they were even on the track, but it was a good track. And then my next one I would tell you is, you know, even though he only really did it as a hook, but I like the message behind it as well as the beat that came with it. The production on it was amazing. And that's Back Again with Snoop Dogg. I thought that was a very nice track, you know? And then the last one that I have to mention, because my boy Jada's on there, and that is Pillow Talk and Slander. And I thought that the production on it was high, top-notch quality stuff. I know that there was someone else featured on that particular project, but the person who stood out the most to me was Jadakiss. And again, Jada's hot. To me, ever since he did the verses, he's just been on fire to me. Everything he's done, every feature he's done, he's been on fire. So I really like the Pillow Talk and Slander track with Jadakiss on it. And again, if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that I love Griselda. I think that they have an opportunity to be great. I think that there has to be a level of flexibility for them. I think that they did one of the things that Kev always wanted them to do. So Benny, I think, worked with other producers, and that was important. So for me, this was really, really something interesting from an artist that I didn't think had it in them. I'll kick it back to you, Kev.
I do like your perspective on that, which was totally surprised. Totally didn't expect that. JB, your thoughts, your initial thoughts on Benny Butcher's album?
Yeah, so I've been listening to this one pretty heavy this weekend. I gave the Lyrical Lemonade Project one listen and tossed it away.
Really?
I guess we'll have a little bit of a conversation about that afterwards. Even though it wasn't bad. But anyway, back to Benny. I've been bumping it heavy. I've been listening to it heavy. I personally, coming from a different era of like that whole early 2000s era of music, don't really like how these albums are being put out where it's like you can listen to them really fast, but I get it. And this project, and we had this debate that a while ago where who's the most commercial of the Griselda bunch, and Benny on this album proved that he has the ability to be marketed to the masses on this project. And not only that, he took some of his Griselda counterparts in Armani Caesar, as well as Stove God Cooks, and they had some of the most crisp and refined verses that I've ever heard for them. Like, normally it's more on the gritty side and stuff like that, but it's just like, they putting it down on this album. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we rapping. You know what I mean? So, and not only that, he gave me, and I'm not saying it's 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying worthy at all in terms of its echelon, but to take that gritty sort of music and put it on something that could be listened to by a general audience is the vibe I'm getting to, because the songwriting is upper echelon. The track a synchronization is upper echelon to me. It's like they put thought into these small areas of presenting the music that really mattered, and he did a great job on the album, even though we know that he could do more. You know, I just feel like he wanted to make himself listenable. And like you said, the track with Lil Wayne and Benny, listen, that was one of the first singles to drop, and I thought it was gonna get old by now, but it don't get enough credit, man. What Lil Wayne did on that, what Benny did on that, it might be crazy to say, but that one might be better than Johnny P's Caddy, the Cole verse. Might be, if you really break it down and listen to it. Might be. I get it. Cole, he did what he did. Cole did what he did. But Lil Wayne definitely went crazy. But that's my take on a project. It's definitely a stream for me. I really enjoy it.
Like I said, I did look at his promo run, and he said to expect something different, which you know, like BY said, you know, you got to give him kudos, thumbs up or whatever to kind of stepping out of his comfort zone in certain aspects. The Snoop Dogg feature surprised me. I didn't expect it. I'm 50-50 on it, to be honest with you. You know, first listen, I was like, that's not needed, but second listen, I'd be like, okay, it wasn't that bad. Actually, the song that surprised me is the Big Dog song. When it first came out, I saw the video. I never listened to the song. But I saw the video and seeing that, I was just like, I don't care for this too much. But it was a different vibe when I heard the song. I was like, what was I thinking looking at this video? This is a good song. Mm-hmm. The features, it was, you know, he's a guy that he's a feature heavy artist, which I think when done right is not an issue, and here it wasn't an issue. He did step out a little bit he got the Snoop Dogg, the Lil Wayne, the Jadakiss, and it was someone else, you know, non-Buffalo or non-artist that he normally throws on every album, which I think was another great added touch. You know, very enjoyable album. He gives you a little bit of you know his sound and his lyrics that he, you know, his content that he's known for, but at the same time, he went another direction also to try to expand, to let you know that he could do other things, and it was good. So I'm gonna ask, you know, I'm gonna go around the panel, ask, you know, stream or no stream. JB already told us, but you know, let us know again, yes or no.
Definitely a stream for me. Definitely a stream.
Be wise.
Yeah, man. After hearing a few words you guys said, I just want to say that yes, I enjoyed it. I thought there was a certain level of growth, but to me, the overall album was just blueprint to how to be a hustler. So for me, it's a no stream.
It's a stream for me. It's a stream for me. Definitely it's a stream for me. I wanted a little bit more, but I can appreciate what we did get. So,
and I think he might be dropping a deluxe, man, because it was short, and when it was over, I was like, is it really over? Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I hope he's dropping a deluxe, maybe 5-6.
I wouldn't be surprised, because I think that's the deluxe route is what a lot of artists are doing nowadays.
And those 5 or 6 are probably going to be those more gritty, homegrown, Benny sounding tracks.
How much more gritty does he need to be?
It what, man? Come on, man! Don't do that.
This album was pretty gritty. If you want a blueprint to how to go to prison, he gave it to you.
But he ain't have all his hoodlum friends on this one though, man.
And I gave him credit for that.
He had Stove God, but dope. That was about it.
I think he owes owes Def Jam 3 more albums. I think in the next 3 albums, he may end up where I want him to be. How about that?
Yeah, and I think that while the subject matter may have alluded to the dealings of negativity in the streets, I do think that it was more about his story and his hustle and his dynamic. You know what I mean? Not necessarily any glorification of it. Nope. So,
glorification, but he's told that story about 12, 13, maybe 20 times over his last few albums.
Yeah, and I get that. I just think that what people need to realize about the nature of music and art is that it's all going to be rooted from this certain perspective, or it's going to come from something. It's going to come from your experience. Like, people say that a lot about, you know, rappers like Larry June or Pusha T, like, oh, he's just a coke rapper, or oh, he's just a weed rapper, or whatever. But that's what they bring to the domain of rap music. And, they continue to diversify it in the way that they improve on their or present their lyrical prowess. And I would say that he did that well on the album, all in all.
I don't want to jump down a rabbit hole, but let me ask this question. You guys enjoy Wu-Tang Clan, right?
Indubitably.
So I would tell you that Wu-Tang was very much gangster, in the street hustling rap. But if you listen to the majority of their content was telling you, hey, you can do this, but here's where you're going to end up at. Whereas most of the current genre that followed them never says you're going to end up anywhere negative. You're always going to win. You're always going to be on top. You're going to be the kingpin. You're going to be me. I'm Benny the Boy. I'm on top. You see me? I'm shining.
If you follow the discography of Wu-Tang, maybe, well, that's alluded to some degree, but nobody listens to it and hears that, because Cream don't say that. Cream just say cash rules everything around me. Get the money, dollar mm-hmm. bill. You know what I'm saying? Go hustle. That's all it's saying to me. And I like the way that the art is presented to me as a listener. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I don't, while it doesn't glorify, I would say, negativity, you know, it does glorify in a way, you know, the whole chase for money and, you know, how that benefits the capitalistic dynamic or whatever. We can talk about another day. But mm-hmm. I think that as subliminal as Wu-Tang is, Benny is as well. While maybe he hasn't had that track that says you're going to go to jail for doing bad stuff, you know, I don't think he's necessarily telling you to go do it either. So.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree on that one, because one day we'll, you know, I'm open to doing an artist spotlight on him and pulling out his, the lyrics to each one of his songs.
Yeah.
Because I believe that at no point has he ever even considered using it as a form of music that could change the circumstances of the people where he came from. So we'll keep it moving. We're going to get into... Oh, my bad. Kev, did you do stream or no stream? You did too.
Yeah.
So it's a stream for us as a whole. So
2-1. Take
that. 2-1. It's a stream as a whole. Now we're going to move on to our last segment, and that is Check It Out. All right. We're gonna let the younger in charge get into this as far as checking it out and what he's listening to right now and what tracks he think that we should be listening to as well. JB, take it away.
All right. So from my perspective, what I'm listening on now, I've been on a pretty strong jazz kick. It's had me in a chokehold. But this new track by Sir is fantastical. I think he's like on this whole D'Angelo sort of vibe with it, but it is different. It's a nice take on R&B, whereas though, like, I feel like a lot of R&B guys sound the same, like Daniel Caesar and all these guys. They just have the same sort of auto-tune pitch and flow to how they make R&B. And I think Sir is quite unique in how he presents that. You know, I went back on some Ransom stuff also, but there's a lot coming. I know Slum Village recently dropped a new track. You know, Hiatus Coyote as well dropped something really great. But there is an artist that is not so well known, but is up and coming, and I really like his music, and I definitely recommend you go check him out. It's Benjamin Earl Turner, Selling Air, a new hip hop project that dropped within the last week, or actually dropped some time ago. But I recommend you go give him a listen. He released a track earlier this summer. So yeah, those are my go check it out as of now. And guess we got a
track again from Benjamin Earl Turner.
Benjamin Earl Turner, Selling Air is a project he dropped actually in 2021, which is pretty good. I just went back to on it. But he has a more recent project and single that dropped sometime last year. So that's what I recommend so far. Like I said, and then obviously Mick Jenkins dropped his deluxe project that is, you know, if you haven't heard his recent project by now, The Patience, you know, you should not leave this month without listening to it, because it's a really great one. And I really, really hope that he cracks the mold. I mean, I hope Rhapsody or somebody grabs him and puts him on a track, because he deserves it. He definitely deserves it. So yeah, that's it for me. Like I said, I've been on a pretty strong jazz kick recently, man. It's got me in a chokehold, but rap-wise, that's where I'm at.
Man, that is what's up. I really enjoyed that. I'm definitely going to check out that Benjamin Earl Turner and Mick Jenkins. I love that dude. It's what's up. I'm going to jump in and do mine, and we're going to let Kev anchor it, because that's our anchor man on the team. So for me, I only got a couple, but Aaron Cole out of Virginia. Man, he just dropped two singles, really tight, man, really tight. Go check them out. One's called Signing Bonus. That's the one you really need to check out. Stream as much as you can. Aaron Cole is not a mainstream artist. He would be what you would call in between secular and gospel, but he's not totally gospel. So he's not going to be like your Trip Lees and so forth like that. He's right in the middle, and he's a young dude. His flow is crazy. Somehow or another, he's getting great production, which most of our gospel rappers don't get the best production, but his production is stellar. And he has quite a nice following. One of my children went to see him perform and said that the crowd was really nice. So I was very encouraged behind that. And then the next track that I think that we all should get out and definitely stream, and that it comes from the Book of Clarence soundtrack, and it is Jizu. And it was really a hot track. As you got Kodak Black on the track. For someone who would tell you that Kodak Black is not in my top 20, I would tell you what he did on this track. If he continues to live up to that standard, what I saw him do, what I've heard him do, and look, I gave him every opportunity. I listened to this track well over a dozen times. And every time I heard it, the level of substance that he put into this was so dynamic that it almost put me in a new space where I may have to go back and listen to his catalog again and see if I can find those B-sides where he's showing this much substance. And then my girl Doja Cat, she's all over the place, but when she's on, she's on. And I thought this particular track fit her perfect, and she ran the beat well. So those are my two. I leave it up to you guys to throw in your two cent, but we're going to let Kev definitely anchor this one.
And yeah, Yak learned that from that Mr. Morale album. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
But he's always had substance in the music, but I think that Mr. Morale album is really what allowed you to see that potential as well.
That's what's up. Kev, take it away.
This is going to surprise you. I haven't really listened to a lot of rap this month, which I shocked myself trying to come up with a list.
Yeah.
Before hasn't this show, been. And I was,
hasn't been a lot.
I mean, but you know what? Surprisingly, it has been a lot of rap music that came out this month. Not a lot of big names, but not a lot of not even a lot of songs that have like hit or made you want to, you know, go listen to this or this or this. You know, B-Wise will tell you all the time, there's a whole bunch of little, and that's what it is. It's a little this. And unless you're a fan of the littles music, either you're going to go to it or you're going to stay away from it. My mood hasn't been to go to the music. So I don't have a lot. You know, we just talked about the Benny album, Big Dog. You know, I now that I've heard it again, it's becoming one of my favorites. I didn't play it the whole weekend. Another one, a favorite artist of mine is Broly James. He did a collaboration. I don't know when it was. It was somewhat recent, but he has a song called Jack Frost on the album. That's like one of my favorites off the album. And there's a guy that is an underground guy that his name is Your Old Drogue. He kind of got popular because he sounds like Nas. And that's what a lot of people say. I hadn't heard him for years, and then all of a sudden his name popped up, and then I started listening to his last two albums, but I didn't realize it wasn't nothing that came out recent. But he has a sound. His content, nothing he really ever does sounds outdated. He's a good underground artist. And I always enjoy his stuff. He has a new song called Fresh Direct that I'm really, really enjoying right now. Action Bronson, I heard a clip of something. I think it was somewhat new. If you like Action Bronson, then I think his new project is going to be good too. That's about it for me, man. I'm trying to get back into it. I listened to a lot of stuff this weekend outside of Benny, but yeah, this month, it's been a bad month. I haven't really got a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, JB, he's on his jazz thing. I'm on this, what is it called? Amp Piano, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Amp Piano.
Yeah. I'm trying to get into that. It's weird. It's weird because I can't say Afro beats. It's like, no, it's not Afro beats. It's different. No, it's not. It sounds a lot like, but.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get the difference. So yeah, that's about it for me though.
All right, man. I really appreciate it, guys. Great conversation. I do want to ask Kev one quick question before we get out of here. Your old Drog, right? You know, he's born in Ukraine. Do you think that him being an immigrant, right, allowed him to almost absorb the culture in a way that an artist born in America might not have been able to absorb it? That's why he sounds like Nas.
I think the fact that, you know, outside of vocally, he sounds like Nas. He does a lot of his own production, and it just feels like he's a niche artist. I'll say he's a niche artist. A lot of his stuff is it does have that Wu-Tang. We talked about Wu-Tang. A lot of it falls in that Wu-Tang category. It falls in that late 90s. It's very New York. It's very New York rap. It's borderline boom bap, but it's not really. It's, you know, he could come at it from so many different angles. But I do think the vocally sound like Nas does hurt him in a way, because Nas is such a big star, and I don't know how it goes over with fans, but when you listen to, if you listen to his song and you listen to Nas' song, you know it's a difference. It's a, I mean, outside of them sounding alike vocally, it's a clear difference in their music. I mean, he's independent, so you know, if you're an independent artist and you know, all you got to do is, you know, you can sell out a 1,000-seat club as an independent artist, and you'll make 80% of your money outside of, you know, the typical artist. And then he can sell, you know, he got everything he sells is pretty much coming to him. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I appreciate that. Any thoughts from you, JB? I just, again, it was interesting. I've heard him recently. I'm only new to him by about 3 months. But in that time frame, I'm like, wow, this dude is like he's what rap should be. I hate to give him that moniker because I know that there are other people who could be that. But for him to be an immigrant, come here, learn or absorb the music of the 90s and early 2000s and be able to regurgitate it in 2022 and 2023 in his own way, I find that inspiring.
Yeah.
And
so
it then causes me an issue that why is it immigrants that can inspire, be inspired and be inspiring, but our own native people can't be inspiring. Go ahead. Well, JB.
Yeah. So so first of all, Eurodrog, he's been on for quite some time. I mean, he did spend a lot of his upbringing in Brooklyn, New York, which is why he has that Nas influence. And he's always been toted around the same echelon as a Danny Brown in terms of the underground music scene, because there was a time in the mid 2010s, early 2010s, where 2013-ish, where underground rap had its place and it was appreciated. Whereas though now it sort of fell off in a way, just because I think certain people just aren't producing to the degree that they should be, or they're trying to keep up, or some people are just got, you know, they just stick up, shove them under the rug. But you know, I don't think that is that, you know, we as people in America don't necessarily want to gravitate toward the icons or legends of music. I think that it's sort of twofold. Like, a part of it is you know, hip hop or rap music in general, you know, the whole Black culture aspect to it is living and breathing. It's evolving. It doesn't stay the same. And Nas is something from the 90s, which even in Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole hasn't been replicated. So I think that when you come here from another country and you have an appreciation for a certain version of music, you build your archetype around that. And that's what you know, love, and like. And that's why he's where he's at in terms of the subcategory or genre of music being underground. And he makes music with the West Side Guns. And he even has a Doom feature on one of his later tracks, which I think is posthumous. But, you know, I think, you know, that's sort of what it is in that regard. But yeah, I appreciate his music and where he is. I've listened to him, you know. My thing, you know, it's always been hard for me to listen to certain artists that aren't of Black culture but do the Black culture thing. It's always been hard. I always double take on that, you know what I mean? And I think that he definitely deserves his credit in terms of his ability to do what he does. I don't think that it's as complex as a guy like Immortal Technique. Because he's really into the politics and giving you the real information and math and wrapping around real activism, and not only rapping about it, he can speak about it. But yeah, I think Eurodrog definitely gets his respect from both a production perspective and what he does on the track as well. So, but yeah, I'm gonna definitely check out his more recent stuff. I just noticed that he had a new track. So yeah, thanks, Kev. I appreciate that.
Yo, that's what's up, party people. I think that this has been a real one. I hope that you guys were able to take away something from this conversation. Please follow us on our social media platforms. We got a live show coming up for you real soon. You can follow us on Instagram at MixEraRapPod. You can follow us at Twitter at MixEraRap. And you can follow us on TikTok at MixEraRapPodcast. MixEraRapPodcast. We appreciate you. God bless. We out of here. Peace.